Some of the things that I'm going to speak about tonight may make some of you uncomfortable. You're not going to hear about a lot of these things in most churches because it doesn't make for a full offering plate when people are taken out of their comfort zone. You don't have to take my word for these things, but you can seek the living word of God for yourself and rest assured that everything that I'm telling you is backed up by the Bible. These things that I'm sharing with you are not to tickle ears, but to edify your soul. I am just a messenger that was sent here by the Lord to share with you the things that you need to hear to prepare yourself for the days ahead. Now, a lot of people have been feeling the spiritual fatigue that's going on because of the current events in our society. It's not any secret that there's a lot of people out there that are just tired and they're wore out. And I've seen comments on social media where people are saying, I just want to go home. I don't want to see any more of this, but I want to read to you here in Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 25. It says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Now, a lot of people don't understand what that scripture means, but it's literally telling us that the Antichrist, Satan himself, is going to wear out the saints of the Most High. And in Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 7, it says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." You need to understand that the Bible tells us that we who live at the time of the end, right? The hour of the last days are going to endure this trial where Satan is going to be given power to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And a lot of people are feeling this in this current generation. People are starting to wake up to the fact that spiritual warfare is increasing in this hour. But what I want to share with you is that you have been programmed for the things that are about to unfold on this earth that are biblical. Why do you think they put all of these things in movies for the past 50 years about aliens and zombies and wars and catastrophic weather events? These are the things that the Bible literally says are going to happen before the return of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of you might say, well, what do you mean? The Bible tells us that there's going to be zombies and aliens and all of these things. You need to understand something, that they are desensitizing you to a point to where that you would not be able to discern that all of these things we're seeing in this generation are biblical. Why do you think that they would make so many movies and shows like The Walking Dead that puts so much emphasis on zombies? Look at how many of these programs that we've seen that tell us about zombies and how there's going to be this virus that makes the dead come back to life and desire to consume flesh. Isn't it interesting why they call what you watch on television programming? When you program something, it is to train it. And if you program the human mind, you train it to think a certain way. These people want you to see these things over and over so that your mind would be desensitized to when you see these things actually come to pass. Now, we've recently discussed this scripture that I'm about to read here, but I want to touch on this to give you an understanding of exactly what I mean about these biblical things, how the Bible talks about what we're going to see coming upon this earth. And it's in Revelation chapter 9, starting in verse 1. It says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." You need to understand something here. The Bible's telling us literally that the pit of hell is going to be opened up on this earth. You don't go to many Sunday morning services and hear these preachers standing behind pulpits talking about the book of Revelation because it makes people very uncomfortable. But you have to grasp the reality that there are going to be men here on this earth, right? Jesus said, "Verily I tell you, there be some standing here that shall not taste death until they see the coming of the Son of Man on the clouds." That means that there will be people living on this earth until the time that he returns, and they will see it with their physical eyes. But I talked about this in last week's podcast about how these locusts that come out of the pit, right? These demonic things that appear out of the smoke of the pit, they are going to be given power to harm men, but not to kill them. And it will be commanded unto them to not harm the trees, the green grass, or any green thing, but only those men who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. If these demons that come out of the bottomless pit have to be commanded to only harm those men without the seal of God in their forehead, that tells me that there are going to be men here with the seal of God in their forehead in those days. Otherwise, these things would not have been commanded to only harm those without the seal of God. Now, what's interesting to me about this scripture is right here in verse 6, it says, "And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." And we see all of these movies about zombies and the walking dead, and they want us to believe that if something like this ever happens, that it's going to be some kind of a virus that's going to cause the dead to come back to life. But what I'm gathering from this scripture here is it's telling me that these locusts are going to be given power to possess the vessels of these men. They are going to be inhabited by these demons for 5 months, and they're going to seek death, and death shall flee from them. And what that tells me is that these men are going to be along for the ride, but they are not going to be in control of their own vessel to a place to where they are going to desire to die, but death will flee from them. So that's going to look to me like they're going to be zombies that are going to be running around behaving like demons. A lot of people say, "Oh, that sounds crazy. I don't want to hear that." Do you not understand that this Bible is all truth? You can't just hop into a denomination and say, "Well, I'm going to cherry pick the parts that make me feel comfortable." We are now living in an hour of revelation to where we see evil being made manifest on the earth. We're seeing what the children of disobedience, the followers of Satan, and what they're doing in this generation on this earth, and you need to be making ready in your heart and preparing for the fact that the end of all things is at hand. I'm not trying to scare you with these things or bring fear or doubt or worry into your life. I'm telling you that the Bible literally says that this is going to be an event that happens. And when this prophecy is fulfilled, it's going to look just like the same scenario that you've been shown in these movies, in these shows for decades. He wants you ignorant and confused so that you don't even realize that you have the living Word of God to go seek the truth. All of these things are written in this Bible. You need to be careful about where you go and allow people to tell you things out of this word, because the Bible tells me in 2 Timothy that the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means that they only want to hear what makes them feel good. They only want to hear what makes them feel justified in their lifestyle. When the Bible tells me that we are called to be edified by the word, it says that we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for teaching and instruction and reproof, so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. That means that you have to take everything from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and do not be given to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Bible warns us that we are like children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's where you get into these denominational divisions that have you so confused, because by the time that you start seeing these biblical events unfold, you can't tell daylight from dark because you've been lied to by somebody who's more worried about how much money you put in the plate than they are about the fact that you need to be prepared for the things that are coming upon the earth. Now, recently we just saw that Obama came out on a podcast and said that aliens are real.
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in,
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the President of the United States.
What was the first question you wanted answered when you became president?
Where are the aliens?
Then, ironically, we just saw this week Laura Trump say in an interview that Donald Trump has a pre-written speech prepared to address the nation on the existence of extraterrestrial life.
Another thing I believe I heard on your podcast that you've discussed with the president is UFOs. Do you think that he's about to make an announcement about UFOs? Because President Obama was just on a podcast talking about how he believes in UFOs and hinting that he saw something when he was president.
Well, I said this in my podcast too. What's funny is we've kind of asked my father-in-law about this because we're like, well, what do you know? Because Miranda, we all want to know about the UFOs, right? We all want to know what's going on. And he played a little coy with us. And so that, of course, led us to believe, Eric and I were like, oh my gosh, if he won't even like fully tell us, maybe there's more to it. And then I have just heard kind of around that, I think my father-in-law has actually said it, that there is some speech that he has that I guess at the right time, and I don't know when the right time is, he's going to break out and talk about, and it has to do with maybe some sort of extraterrestrial life, so to speak. I look at things from the perspective of the vastness of our universe. And I'm a kind of a numbers person. You know, I don't get nervous flying because the odds are very much in your favor flying. The odds that anything will happen to you are far greater in a car than they ever will be in an airplane. But I'm also looking at the odds in terms of how much is out there in the universe. And it would be pretty wild to think that the only spot where there was any sort of life in the entire universe was here on Earth. So I don't have any information. I feel like there might be information out there, and hopefully it's going to be able to be told to all of us very soon. We'll see.
So does the president act as if he believes there are UFOs and that this is going to be some momentous announcement, or is it just, you know, a casual observation that there might be something out there?
It's a good question. I mean, He's kind of been very cool about it. Whenever I've heard this come up about this possible speech, and when Eric asked him, knowing him as well as I do, the way he says things, they make a difference sometimes. And he's been a little different about this one. So it makes me personally think that there's something that he knows that the rest of us don't know. And so I'll let people determine for themselves whatever that means. But yeah, it makes me think there's more to come.
Now, you need to understand something. A lot of people get up in arms when they hear about this alien stuff. There are a lot of people who have been conditioned to think, wow, that would be cool if there was other life outside of our planet. But what you need to understand, that what they will call aliens are the demons that roam the earth. They have been here since before the flood. They walked in the sight of men. What did Jesus say would happen at the time of his return? He said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." That means that these evil spirits from the sons of God that walked on the earth, that were destroyed in the flood, are going to be made manifest in the sight of men once again. Because what is the last book of the Bible? It is Revelation. It is the revelation of all things, including the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are going to come to pass because they know that these things are going to happen. Satan is not ignorant to prophecy. He knows what God has prepared in these hours, and they are preparing to tell you these things to have you deceived. This is why we must walk with discernment in this hour. People don't understand that Satan is real because they go to a place and they learn about the fluff and the milk of the word, and they never get into the strong meat and become skillful in the word of God and have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's why the Bible tells us that those who are on the milk are unskillful in the word. We must pray for discernment in this hour so that we may see the things that God desires for us to see so that we are not deceived. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 8 and 44, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Jesus was telling us here that Satan is the father of lies. When he speaks, he's lying. That's what he's trying to tell us. So we need to understand that when we're presented with these things of the world, it is done by the devil. Why do you think these people who create the most popular content in these movies, in these television shows that is broadcasted before the world to see, they glorify these things such as aliens and zombies and wars and catastrophic weather events? Like I said, they are trying to program you to believe that the cause is not biblical. They don't want you to understand that God is real, so they are telling you these other things through entertainment. And guess what? Who makes all of these movies and creates all of this content? Hollywood. What is the fruit that's on the tree of Hollywood? Well, what are we now finding out about all of these people from Hollywood? It doesn't take a genius to go look in the Epstein files and see that these are the same people that create these movies, that desensitize you to these things, that program your mind to have you ignorant. They are literally the ones who serve the devil. They are sacrificing children to demons. Now, I've noticed a lot of people call these people the elites. We need to stop calling these people the elites and start calling them the predators. These are the sickos of this generation that are devil worshipers. These are demons walking in the flesh. The Bible tells us that God dwells in men. What does the devil say? He says, "As above, so below. As it is written, God hath said, I will walk in them and dwell in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Howbeit that God dwelleth in temples not made with hands. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." When are you going to wake up and understand that you are the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells? Do you not understand that the Bible also tells us that there are children of disobedience? They walk filled with the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible tells us, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see whether it is of God." There are so many people in this generation that claim to be followers of Jesus that are so ignorant of spiritual things. The Bible tells us, and I say it so many times, that the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. If we know that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of the living God dwells in men, then we know it also tells us that the spirit of Antichrist dwells in men. These people that are being revealed in this hour, they are literally the children of the devil. That's what we're seeing manifest. And you've got all of these church people that are running around completely ignorant to it. And when chaos and all of this evil manifest on the earth, they're going to be running around scrambling because they're not going to know what to believe because they haven't even studied their Bible. They've been trusting somebody to read to them the things that makes them feel good. Instead of rightly dividing the word of truth, they shy away from these things that I'm sharing with you so that they can feel comfortable and at ease. So many people get confused about the Antichrist and they think it's one man when you need to understand that it is a spirit. It is not just one person. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." The son of perdition will be one part of this beast system that is rolled out. You have it all written right here in the Bible to help you to understand that there's going to be many pieces to this puzzle that makes up the spirit of Antichrist. You have the beast, the image of the beast, the seven heads that are on the beast that rises up, the 10 horns, the 10 crowns, the false prophet. You need to be studying this Bible so that you would not be ignorant at the things that are coming upon this earth, because Satan desires to have you ignorant and confused to God's word so that you won't know whether you're coming or going. That's the problem in this generation, because we have all of these teachers that are given to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they're tossing people to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They're more focused on rapture theories and all of these other things than they are about the fact that we are literally witnessing biblical prophecy unfold on a daily basis. These people that serve the devil and are being revealed in this hour, they literally have a motto, and we've spoke about this before, but it is order out of chaos. And I believe that we are entering into a time where we're seeing the enemy literally trying to wear out the saints of the Most High. That's not a secret. You feel it. You feel these things happening and you're just like, golly, man, I'd rather go home. I'd rather die and go be with Jesus. But we see Satan himself wearing people out. He's wearing out the saints of God. But in this hour, I believe that as we see chaos and darkness increase on this earth, we're going to see somebody come to the surface. They're going to step out on the world stage at a time of complete and total peril, and he's gonna have all the answers. He's gonna say, "I can fix these things. I was actually the one that revealed all of this evil, and I know how we can fix it." I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to come through AI. We know that AI is openly demonic. They've already created their own social media platform, and they've created their own religion, and they don't allow humans to come into this social media platform, and we're seeing all of these other signs. But something that I saw that was extremely disturbing, this Mr. Beast character recently came out with this commercial for Neuralink. And he showed this man who supposedly has this Neuralink chip in his brain, and he's manipulating a computer with his thoughts.
Which is a computer chip surgically implanted into the brain, enabling people like Nolan here to reconnect to the world.
So you were paralyzed from the neck down?
Yeah, and for about 8 years, I was trying to find some purpose in my life.
And then you got Neuralink, and what has that changed?
Anything anyone can do on a computer, I can do.
And he literally does it by using only his brain. You are currently moving that with your thoughts.
Yeah, man.
I want to see you send a text with your brain.
Okay.
His hands are paralyzed, but we're going to film them so you can see they're not moving.
And using the neurons firing in Nolan's brain, Neuralink can translate those signals into movements.
He just typed hi with his mind. Is this not crazy to anyone else?
But that's not all he can do.
So you just think left, and you're about to turn left.
Left, right, don't die.
No! Oh, no. There we go. He absolutely crushed us playing with only his mind.
I never thought would allow me to do anything like this.
And future technology can not only help the mind, but also the body.
And you have to see what the Bible says. I've talked about this before, but in the book of Daniel, it literally tells us that the fourth and final kingdom that is set up on the earth will be the kingdom of iron and miry clay. And it says the iron will mingle themselves together with the seed of the miry clay. This is something that we're seeing in this generation to where you're seeing man and machine come together. So it tells me that we very well could see the son of perdition, the man of lawlessness, step on the scene through this image of the beast, which very well looks like AI. Now here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." People are misunderstood about this scripture because the Bible's telling us that there's going to be something taken out of the way that causes the son of perdition, the man of sin, to be revealed. And a lot of people believe that this restrainer that's holding back the lawless one is the Holy Spirit. But you have to rightly divide the word of truth. That's where a lot of this false deception comes in to the church, and people are starting to give heed to those doctrines of devils. The Bible tells us here in Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." This tells us that Michael, the archangel, who stands for the children of God's people, at that time will stand up, and then there will be a time of great trouble, right? We need to understand that the Bible's telling us here that this is the prophecy that is spoken of in 2 Thessalonians when it says that he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that's when that man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed. When that happens, you're going to know, because that's when we're going to see a persecution of Christians like we've never seen on this earth. Now, with all of this said, we need to understand that if you are a man or a woman of God and you follow Jesus Christ, this is not the time to grow weary. This is not the time to throw in the towel and lay down and say, "Well, I just want to die and go home. I'm just so tired." The Bible literally tells you that it is given unto Satan to make war with the saints and to overcome them. It says that he is going to wear out the saints of the Most High. You can't just lay down and say, "Well, I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to see anymore." This is the time for you to dig your heels in and understand that you serve the one who holds the victory. That is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me that we are called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. "And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier." I know I say this scripture a lot, but you need to understand that this is war. The people of God are being called to a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, to stand up in this hour and increase light on this earth. "Your enemy desires to have you so that he may sift you like wheat." That is that heaviness that you're feeling. These are the things that the enemy is using to have you blind, weak, and confused, and not understanding that you have weapons of warfare that you can access that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you not see that the Bible warns you of all of these things? That's why it's so important for you to not trust somebody to read to you the Bible, but that you should go and not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I see so many people that say, well, I just don't understand what the Bible says, and I have trouble reading it and understanding. That is because you have not, because you ask not. When you pick up this Bible, before you read a word, you go to your Father in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, and you ask Him to give you understanding. Ask Him to bless you with eyes to see and ears to hear, and give you the gift of discernment so that you may be able to discern the hidden and mysterious things in His Word. And also ask Him to write the scriptures on the tables of your heart so that you would not be ignorant. The book of Psalm tells us, Thy Word have I hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against Thee. This Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. We access these weapons that is in this Word, which is literally a sword. The Bible says that it is the sword of the Spirit. It is for pulling down of strongholds. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a generation of lost and lukewarm Christians that don't understand that the things that they walk in through sin and iniquity have allowed demonic strongholds into their lives, and they don't even see it happening. They see things coming into their everyday life that causes oppression and affliction, and they have all these problems, and they tell themselves, well, there's no way I could have a demon because I believe in Jesus. But what happens when you turn on these shows that show iniquity and filth and pornography and all of these things? The literal statistics say that over 70% of the men in the church, the body of Christ, have an addiction to this filth. They watch pornography and they go to church. That's why the Bible tells me that this generation, in the last days, they will have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Jesus told us that these people, they draw nigh to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We are not called to walk in iniquity, but to walk in righteousness. We need to be praying for each other in this hour. The Bible says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you not understand that we are called to do these things because we are the body of Christ? We are called to bear one another's burdens. We stand in the gap and make intercession. If we do not pray, then what are we doing here? Our lives are in vain if we're not increasing that light on this earth. We live in a generation where there are hundreds of thousands of pastors that stand behind pulpits and seek to please men while they extort the name of Jesus Christ to do it. Do you not understand that this is the hour that the Bible talks about in 2 Thessalonians, where it says there will be a great falling away that happens, and this is what we're seeing? We need to come to the realization that there will not be a safe space for the lukewarm when Jesus Christ returns. He said, I know thy works, whether thou art hot or cold, but I would rather that you be hot or cold than lukewarm. For if you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Guys, I know you hear these scriptures a lot, and I'm not trying to beat these things over and over, but I'm telling you, we're literally seeing these people talk about how they're going to expose the existence of extraterrestrial life. And they're telling us all these things through TV and propaganda media and all of these news outlets that have you divided and confused and tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The churches are infiltrated with the enemy. The enemy has came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. This is that generation in which we now live, and people are ignorant and blind, and they're allowing the enemy to wear them out. That's why the Bible tells us that we must endure hardness as good soldiers. soldiers of Christ. We are in the battle, but we do not allow ourselves to be entangled with the affairs of this life. That means that we don't allow this sin and iniquity to entangle our lives. Why do you think the Bible says that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? That is to tell us that we can no longer live in sin, right? Jesus told the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. The Bible tells us, should we continue to sin after we've been saved by the grace of God? God forbid. We're not called to live in these things. We're not called to return to these things. If we fall short, as we all do, right? The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God and sin. We have an advocate with the Father, and His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we see all of these things coming to pass, and it seems like that nobody in the body of Christ is too concerned about warning the people about the things that are coming. There are a few people out there that are doing the work of an evangelist. Do you not understand that the Bible calls all of us who are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ to do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry? That means that there are going to be people who come into your life that God will send to you, or He will send you to them, and you will be able to minister His word to these people. For women, it could be your children. For men, it could be millions of people on the internet, or it could be the people you work with in a factory that you go to for your job every day. But either way, you must be praying and seeking the Lord's wisdom and His will for your life. Ask Him to reveal to you the things that He has set forth in your life. I know I talk about this a lot, but I'm trying to get you to understand that we need laborers in the harvest in this hour. Stop allowing the enemy to wear you out. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is the generation where the men and women of God need to stand up and be beacons of light, fishers of men, cities that are set upon a hill that cannot be hid. I want to give you a word of encouragement, because we are not called to walk in darkness, to carry the weight of bondage. Do you not realize that the Bible tells us that every man's works will be tried by fire? I want to read to you here in Hebrews chapter 12, and you need to pay attention, because this may very well be one of the most important scriptures that you will hear out of this Bible. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" You need to understand that this word is telling us literally that we should lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's so many people out there that are facing trial. They're enduring All of this spiritual warfare, this battle has taken hold in their life, and they don't even understand that it is spiritual in nature. The devil sees the calling on your life. He sees the Holy Spirit trying to move in your life. There is no testimony without a test. The Bible never tells you that your walk in Christ will be easy and a fluffy journey where you will not endure any type of resistance or hardship. You need to understand what he's telling us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Do you understand that the Bible is literally telling us here that we are going to receive chastisement from God? He deals with us as sons, because whom the Lord loves, he also chastens and scourges like a son. And guess what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29? It says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Do you not understand that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is so mighty, he is so powerful, that he is a consuming fire? The Bible tells us that when the return of Jesus comes, he will destroy the enemy with the bright of his coming. We cannot behold his presence. That's why he's telling us that every man's work shall be tried by fire. Do you not understand that the Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience? That is what we now endure in this hour. We are not called to carry the weight of sin, which is bondage, but to walk in righteousness. This is the cross that you are called to carry to be separate from the world. The weight that we carry is the cross of Jesus Christ that he himself commanded us to take up and carry every day. He told us in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." This is what we carry, that cross of Christ. The weight of this cross should crush your flesh every day. As Paul said, "I die daily." We turn from these iniquities. We no longer desire to walk in these things. That is the power of God. John the Baptist said, "I came baptizing with water, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit of fire." Do you not understand that the Bible tells us that people will have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof, and the power of the living God that dwells in a man is the rebirth of the mind? Jesus said you must be born again. These are the things that the Bible desires to tell us, that so that we would not be ignorant, but that we would walk in truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed." We walk as soldiers, enduring hardness, but we do not allow ourselves to be entangled with the affairs of this life, this sin that so easily besets us. We turn back to these things as the dog returns to its vomit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not an hour to be playing games with the living God, to be living lukewarm. It is time to come out from among them and be ye separate, to carry that weight that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, he is not an unjust God. He said, "If you cast your cares upon him, he cares for you." He desires to help you carry this burden, but you have to seek him with your whole heart. We see the signs of the things that are happening, but we are not given to the spirit of fear, right? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. We shouldn't walk with fear, doubt, worry, sin, iniquity, all of these things that we allow ourselves to be entangled with, but we should put on the whole armor of God and walk filled with the Holy Spirit. Learn it of the Word of God so that we may call to remembrance these things, right? What did that scripture say? You can't so easily forget these things, but in the book of Psalms, it says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You need to be preparing your heart for these things that the Bible says is coming upon the earth. The weight of the cross of Christ is no small thing. We are called to deny ourselves, to crucify this flesh. He said in the book of Joel, return to me with all of your heart, with weeping and fasting. Rend your hearts and no longer your garments. He doesn't want a show. He wants you to wring out your heart so that you could remove this iniquity from your life. There's a lot of people that walk in this world with unforgiveness. Sometimes we can't even forgive ourselves. I've done things in this world that I never thought that I could forgive myself for, because the enemy stands before God day and night accusing me of these things that I've walked in. But the Lord wants you to lay those burdens down. He said, all who are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. He's telling you that you need to take those burdens and cast your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. He does not want you to walk with this weight of bondage, this sin that has beset you and separated you from God. You are to take up that new weight, that weight of Christ, that weight of the cross of Christ that we carry daily, that keeps us in line with his word, that turns us away from this iniquity. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, starting in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There are so many people out there who are going through a trial right now, and they don't even understand that God is using this trial to build your patience. You need to be careful when you pray for patience, and understand that when you ask for patience, it will always come with a trial. You need to know that this trial works patience in your life. But the Bible also tells us that we should allow this patience to have her perfect work, so that we may be found perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When you're going through these things and you're saying, Lord, why would you allow this to happen to me? I see so many people say, well, how could a loving God allow people to suffer? Well, he's telling you that we know that all things work together to the good of them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And if you're going to have patience, you're going to have a trial. That's how you are tried in the fire. He told us in the Bible, in Matthew 24, and this is something that you need to make settled in your heart whenever you start to feel fatigued from this spiritual battle. When you start to feel like that you don't know what you're going to do and you're just ready to die and go home, and you no longer want to be in this battle that you are called to endure hardness in. He said in Matthew 24 and 13, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Do you not understand that we are called to endure until the end? This is the patience of the saints. These scriptures are telling us that we need to endure until the end. You have to overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's why the Bible tells us here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, starting in verse 10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Do you not understand what he is telling us there? That he has chosen us out of the furnace of affliction. There are a lot of people out there that have walked through hell in this life. I see it. I see some of your testimonies when you send messages and make comments on this podcast, on my social media pages. You've been through so many things in this life. And I've told you before that these things are heartbreaking. I stand in prayer for these people. But I also see the children of God who have been chosen out of this furnace of affliction. That's why we're told in his word that he's chosen us. We endure these things because the enemy sees that we are the children of God. The devil knows that you are a threat to his kingdom if you ever find out what it is that he has called you to do. That's why Jesus said, "The first will be last, and the last will be first." He came not to save the righteous, but the sinner. The reason that some of you have been through such darkness in your life is because the enemy has been trying to destroy you all of this time because he wants you to stay as far away from Jesus as you can. And this is the whole of the matter. God has allowed it so that you could come to this point in your life and understand that this is your moment. This is your time in which you were born for on this earth to bring forth light in this generation. I want to read to you here in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, in verse 3. It says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." I heard this story, and I've talked about it on this podcast before, but I want to share it with you again because I believe that it's going to help a lot of people who are enduring this trial in this season to understand that God is allowing this to give you patience, to remove these things, to purge this sin and iniquity out of your life, to give you an expected end because he knows the plans that he has for you. But there was a woman who went to a Bible study, and she read this scripture here in Malachi chapter 3 where it says that God sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. And she wanted to have a better understanding of this, so she went to a man who did this for a living, and she asked if she could watch him work during that day. And he agreed, and she went in, and she asked questions, and she said, "How is it that you purify this silver?" He said that, "I have to hold the silver in the hottest part of the fire, but I have to be careful not to leave it there too long because it'll burn it up. But I leave it there until the impurities come to the top so that they could be removed." And she said, "How is it that you know when it's finished and the silver is purified or refined?" He said, "Well, that's easy. When I can see my reflection in it." He was telling her that he knew that the silver had been purified and refined when he could see himself in it. What do you think the Bible is telling us? That when we are tried by fire, right? Because Hebrews chapter 12 told us that our God is a consuming fire. The Bible told us there in 1 Corinthians that every man's works will be tried by fire. He's telling us that he's chosen us out of the furnace of affliction. This trying of our faith that works patience. He holds us in that fire, and he has to be so careful, right? Because as he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver, he holds us there until those impurities and those sins and iniquities are purged from our life, until he can see himself in us. As the Bible tells us, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I hope that that brings you a better understanding of what's happening when you're enduring this trial. The weight of the cross of Christ is what we carry to replace that weight of sin, which so easily besets us, that bondage that keeps us away from the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it sounds crazy to hear all of these things that are happening in this generation, and sometimes you just want to lay down and go to sleep and forget about everything that's happening in the world. But the reason that I brought you this message tonight, so that you would be encouraged, that you would march forward into this battle through prayer and fasting and praying that the Lord would send you forth as laborers into the harvest to save souls from the pit of hell. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now in that generation where we're about to see the Antichrist manifest. He's going to walk his son of perdition out onto the scene to deceive the world. But lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant to his devices. We have this word to study, to prepare our hearts and our souls to leave this world so that we may return to our Creator. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus told us in His word that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Him. We need to be encouraged in this hour when we see darkness increase and the enemy trying to wear out the saints of the Most High. That's when we should mount up with our armor of God. We should take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. He told us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do not grow weary in this hour and fall into the bondage of sin, but carry that weight of the cross of Christ. And when you grow tired, you can go to the Lord. When you become heavy laden and burdened, and He will give you rest. He came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. We are called to cast our burdens on Him because His burden is light and His yoke is easy. This is a burden that I carry, the weight of bringing these messages. It crushes my flesh. I have to walk worthy of the vocation that I was called in because I see the darkness that's coming upon this earth. I see the sin and iniquity that's celebrated in the streets of our society in this current generation. You have people that mock God and mock Jesus, but God is not mocked. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If you're out there tonight and you can hear the sound of my voice and you doubt your faith, you doubt that Jesus is real, you have the opportunity to see that Satan is being manifested, and you know that if the devil is real, then Jesus Christ has to be real, and everything in this book is truth. It is the most bought and sold book in the world. It is the most loved and hated book in the world. You can go proclaim any other false god. You can go proclaim any other religion anywhere in the world, and you will not endure any type of persecution. But the moment that you go out and begin to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, you will begin to be hated and mocked and ridiculed by all of these children of the devil. You need to understand that this is truth. Jesus Christ came so that you would not be cast into hell, but that you would have life eternally. And now is the time to turn from the things of this world and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, so that all these things will be added unto you. The Bible says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." This is that hour, ladies and gentlemen. If you have things in your life that separate you from God, they are no longer a benefit to you. You need to remove these things from your life so that you would not enter in at that broad gate that leadeth unto destruction, where many go in thereat, but seek to enter in at that narrow gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. This is your moment. This is your time to come out of this iniquity, to separate yourself from the things of this world and seek God's will for your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share something with you tonight. I was standing in a grocery store not long ago, and I've had a lot of things happening in my life with everything that's going on with the House of Prayer, and I'm going to explain that to you in this podcast and the direction of my life and how I'm literally turning away from everything that I thought that I was going to do in this life to serve the living God. But as I was standing with my family in this grocery store, this little old woman approached me, and she was carrying a small dog in her arms. And she had tears coming down her face. I've never met this woman a day in my life. And she walked right up to my face, and she looked at me as the tears streamed down her face. And she said, "I am a servant of the Lord, and the Lord has delivered a message unto me that I am to deliver to you." And she said that you're to keep going and doing what you're doing, because the Lord is going to work many great miracles through your life. And she said, "I am a servant of the Lord, And the Lord has delivered this message to me to deliver to you. And she walked away. And not long after that, I'm sorry, I'm going to try to get through this. Not long after that, I got a phone call from my mom. And she said, there is a lady at our house and she's looking for you. And she said that the Lord sent her to find you today. And I said, okay. If you tell her, if she'll give me a few minutes, I'll drive over there and I'll talk to her. And when I got there, she said that she was in her house washing her dishes and she heard a voice tell her, you need to go find Tyler Wood today. And she said she kind of brushed it off at first, like, what? And she said the second time she heard the voice, she dropped her dishes and she said, okay, I'm going right now. And she said she'd had no clue where to find me, where to look. And she went out and she went driving and she went looking and she said, the Lord will lead me there. And she said, finally, she found my mom and dad's house. And when I got down there to talk to this woman, I pulled up, she was in tears. And I spoke to her for a while and she had told me some things that had happened that were terrible with a man that she had met that I had prayed over a year prior, and that he was no longer in the world because he had ended his own life because of some things that had happened between him and her. And she had told me that the Lord sent her there to wash my feet. And the first thought that went through my mind was, you're not washing my feet. And I thought about Peter. When Jesus said he was going to wash Peter's feet and said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And that's how I felt. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Tyler, you can't deny her of this. So I said, okay. I said, okay, I'll let you do this. And this woman got on her knees and rocked back and forth and cried and said, thank you, Jesus, while she washed my feet. And I realized that you don't have to be humble to wash somebody's feet. You have to be humble to allow somebody to wash your feet, because that's the hard part. And I thought back about the things that are happening in my life and the direction that these things are taking and the testimonies that people are pouring out because of what's happening with this podcast. And I know that God is involved with this, and I'm so grateful that the God of all creation would use somebody like me. In this hour, to bring a word of truth so that many would be turned from iniquity and brought into righteousness. So these things that have happened, there's been many other things, and I'll share more of these testimonies with you, and I'm sorry that I struggle to talk about these things, but it's a weight for me because of what I deal with daily. And I take up my cross with honor. I'm so thankful that I'm allowed to carry my cross daily and follow Jesus. And the reason that I bring these messages to you with this urgency and fervency is so that you too would be able to walk this journey with me. Because the Lord told me, he said, the road that you're about to travel is very narrow, and the people that you meet that are on it with you are going to be very few and far between. And I understand what that is. I understand now what he meant when he told me that. So I understood what the testimony of the two doors was when he showed me that vision of those two doors. of which one that I could choose. So it led me to the decision of taking this business that has caused so much turmoil since I've used my platform to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I've been on this national television show on the Discovery Channel called Moonshiners, and we spent the last 10 years of our lives and my family building this distillery. And I decided to tear it all out and shut it down and turn it into the house of prayer. And I wanted to do something, not to just build a church, but to literally build something that would be pleasing to God. Some of you may already know about the House of Prayer Project, but I know we get a lot of new subscribers every week, so I want to share with you, if you haven't seen the testimony that I've shared in the previous podcast of what the House of Prayer is, we are closing this distillery down and turning it into a house of prayer that's not just going to be open on Sunday, that's going to be open every day, a place where people can come and pray and make intercession and shine a beacon of light and to pray against the darkness that is coming upon this earth and to be delivered and set free from the bondage of sin. It's a place where I will be delivering messages and praying with people as well, but also a place where we understand what Jesus meant when he said, "My Father's house will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." We got it all wrong when we play church, guys. It's supposed to be a place of praise, worship, and prayer, where the captives can be set free. A place where prayer warriors can come and stand in the gap for those who need prayer. As the Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. And that's what we desire to see here. And I believe what the Lord has shown me is that what's going to happen here is we are going to spark revival that is going to spread across this nation. The Lord is moving in a mighty way in this situation, and this is just the beginning. So if you want to know more about the House of Prayer and how you can be involved and help us make this become a reality, go to my website, TylerWoodEncounter.com. There's some information there. As we move forward with this, we're going to be working on this over the course of the next several months. We are going to be posting updates on the website, but you can go there and see how you can help. Everybody that's already been a part of this and help and send support, I thank you with all of my heart for being a part of this, because I can assure you that what God is doing here is a move like not many have seen in this generation. And I'm going to fulfill this duty with all of my heart to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God and to help save the souls of many. My goal when I leave this earth, and many of you have heard me say this before, but my goal when I leave this earth is to take as many souls with me as I can to the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? This is life and death serious. There's nothing on this earth that's worth losing your salvation for. So I'm reaching out to you and I'm saying, take my hand and come with me. We are going to the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him." Don't be deceived and allow the devil to get you cast alive into that pit. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are saved by grace through faith and not by works, lest any man boast, but we will be judged by our works, as the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation. John saw the books opened and the book of life was opened, and he saw the dead, small and great. And he said that they were judged out of the things written in the book according to their works. Our reward in heaven will be according to the works that we brought forth on this earth, the talents that we brought forth with the talents that God gave us. Jesus gave these parables. Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and I'm bringing with me each man's reward according as his work shall be." I say these scriptures over and over because I want you to be edified. I want you to write these scriptures on the tables of your heart. Let them be as signs upon your hands, as frontlets between your eyes. Hide them in your heart that you might not sin against God. Guys, I'm so thankful for each and every one of you that take part in this podcast, that are taking part in what we're going to do in the days ahead with this house of prayer and the things that the Lord is doing here. If you go to our website, you can check out these t-shirts that we have there. I don't just want to sell you things, but I wanted to make something to help you to walk in boldness. I've seen some incredible testimonies where people said that they have bought these shirts and they wore them out into town and people walked up and asked them to pray for them. This is a way for you to be a witness. The living word of God is written on these shirts. You may encounter people that read something on these t-shirts and sees you as a man or a woman of God, and they know that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And it can be a witness to them. It can open up that door for you to edify and turn a soul to righteousness. They are great quality shirts. All of you out there that have already taken part in buying these, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for your love, prayers, and continued support. Guys, we don't know the day or the hour, but we see the signs that are all around us. And we should lift our head and look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. I want to take a minute to say a prayer with you and that you would be edified from the things that I have shared here today. Share this message with all those who you believe need to hear it. Encourage them to take the time to sit and listen and pray for discernment. But I want to pray for you now in the name of Jesus. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus to thank you for this opportunity to share these testimonies, to share your word and the wisdom that you've placed on my heart so that others may also carry this wisdom into their lives, that these things may be applied to their hearts and their souls, that they may also bring forth much fruit for your kingdom. Father, I pray that you'd bless the people that have seen this message with eyes to see and ears to hear. Give them the gift of discernment, Lord. We stand in agreement today when we ask for these things because your word says that if two of us will agree touching anything on this earth, it will be given to us by our Father, Lord, and we trust you in these things. We believe in your word, and we pray that you would bless us with the gifts of your ministry that we may help others to come to know you. Let us be beacons of light and fishers of men in a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid, Lord. And help us most of all to be filled and anointed with your Holy Spirit, and help us to suit up with your full armor so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, let us be encouraged in this hour. I pray that you would encourage your people that are listening to this message, who are praying here in agreement, that you would encourage them to push on, to march forward into this battle and to stand against this darkness and reprove this evil that is coming upon this generation, Lord. We pray that you would set your hand against this darkness, that you would bless all those who need you tonight, all those who have asked us for prayer, every single prayer request that was mentioned. Lord, all of us who stand in agreement in this prayer, we lift them up to you in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would know their needs and help them in their hour of affliction and trial. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to serve you, and we count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, that we know that the trying of our faith worketh patience, Lord. We praise your holy name, Jesus. We love you with all of our heart, and we say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God, who is and was and is to come. And we desire to dwell in your kingdom all of the days of our life and for eternity. And we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Guys, I thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this message. I ask that you would share this message. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the channel. If you're out there listening to this, I want to tell you, if you're on another platform besides YouTube or Spotify, we have a video production version here on YouTube and Spotify where you can see a lot of visuals. You can see me on camera. I know there's a lot of podcast platforms that don't have video availability, but we do have full production videos on YouTube and Spotify. It's at the Tyler Wood Encounter podcast is the name of the channel. I just wanted to let you guys know that in case you haven't had the opportunity to see the video version. Guys, thank you for watching this message. This has been the Tyler Wood Encounter. My name is Tyler Wood, and I rob hell for a living. I love y'all. God bless y'all tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior of the world.